The title of today's meditation and message is Why We Use the King James Bible. Some of you are perhaps only newcomers to this Bible, for you have used some other version for a long time, until you came here, and then, well, perhaps just to follow the crowd, you changed to King James Bible. But I'm suggesting to you, dear friends, there is far more than conforming to our practice. Far, far more. The reason why we use this Bible and not some other Bible is an immense reason sent from God Himself that you ought to know. I have here a few publications. I'll introduce them to you because these are available in the book room. NIV claims examined. Are those claims true or false? Get it? It's available here. The Battle for the King James Bible, also available shortly. Most of you have perhaps seen it or have it, but there are a few copies. If you wish to have copies and the stock runs out, just leave us your name. Another one. Which English Bible should we use? And last one, old book you know already. Beyond Versions, the book that I wrote because I was provoked to write. All these are available in the book room. Now please turn to the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter, beginning firstly before chapter 2, verse 18, the first 19 of chapter 1. The Word of God says to us, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Peter, writing this, was very mindful of his promise to the Lord when Jesus says, Peter, do you really love me? And what did the Lord say to him? We all are very familiar with these words. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. What is it we feed on? We feed on here the bread of life, the word of life. The only book that tells us the way to God. And this we introduce and present to you without apology because it is true. King James Bible. King James Bible, 1611. That is the Bible you all are holding, reading, we preach from. This is the more sure word of prophecy that God has given to us. Today we say without apology, there is no other Bible that can rival this in accuracy, in authenticity, and in faithfulness. Please remember, God spoke, holy men wrote, those writings are no longer available. That's the first point you got to remember. Those are called the autographs. What do we have? The book you carry is only a print of a translation translated from a copy of the autographs which are not anymore available. Europe had been in total darkness, in spiritual bondage for 1,000 years. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? For 1,000 years, everything that happens to you of any importance, you got a birth, you got a death, what do? See the priest. Do what the priest says to do. That's it. For 1,000 years, they did not have access to the Word of God. If the priest happens to be good, you get good stuff. If the priest happens to be mediocre, you get mediocre stuff. If the priest happens to be corrupt, you get nothing, you get rubbish. For 1,000 years, the whole of Europe was in darkness until Reformation came. Now, the Reformation today is a bad word. In Christian circles, it is taboo. Nobody knows what Reformation is all about because there is a campaign to get people to forget. It is called an unprofitable quarrel among brothers. Is that so? My dear friends, our adversary is smarter than you and me. He invents lies, and lies that are told often enough by many people enough, from the highest quarters high enough, people believe it. So you say, don't talk of Reformation. Why are you so quarrelsome? Dear friends, Reformation was the God had mercy on people on earth, particularly in Europe, and sent servants who had the Spirit of God to inquire, what is it we believe in? Do we have the Word of God? I'm today more concerned with the English part of the Reformation, not so much about Europe, where you have Martin Luther and Zwingli and others in Europe who were the fathers of the Reformation. I'm more concerned about the English Reformation. And so in England, God raised man, John Wycliffe, 14th century. 16th century, William Tyndale. These were the fathers of the Reformation. And these were the first Protestant. Again, these words are not used nowadays. It is expunged from the vocabulary because it is not helpful. The Reformation brought to England the Word of God by two people. One was John Wycliffe. He translated from the Latin Vulgate. Now, that is a translation from the original Latin and Greek, Hebrew and Greek into Latin. Now, Wycliffe translated from the Latin into English. His burden is our people ought to read God's word for themselves and not everything ask the priest, and the priest will not tell you the truth. So, the first man you got to remember is Wycliffe. After him, 200 years later, came Tyndale. Now, Tyndale is the real hero of the Reformation in England. As a scholar of Hebrew and Greek, remember, these are the Bible languages. The originals were translated, copied into Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament. Tyndale was burdened. God's Spirit came on him and he says, I will give my life. I said, dear friends, when God's Spirit calls, you will give your life. So happily that the King of Kings will use me to translate his word so that my people, the English, will be able to read in English and not go to the priest and say, hey, tell me what to do. So, Tyndale gave his life. Out of him came Tyndale's Bible. Not complete. New Testament complete, Old Testament about two-thirds. But the whole Tyndale Bible was about 80% of the whole Bible. The time came when England was being assailed because Rome is never contented. So as soon as there was Reformation, came the Counter-Reformation, a movement from Rome. For England was the crown jewel of the tiara, of the crown, the most important jewel on the Roman crown was taken away. Target is, we must restore England to the fold. Counter-Reformation. Question, is the Counter-Reformation still on? Answer is, absolutely. Absolutely. Today is very active. That is why we do not hear of Reformation. That is why we have dropped the term Protestant. Now what do we call ourselves? You know? Christians. You Christian, I Christian, he Christian, she Christian. Everybody is Christian. This is the prelude to a day when everybody will identify as Christians. This is the first step to the ecumenical unity of the world. One world is coming. Ecumenical movement means one world. So the emphasis today is not on denominations, but on unity. Counter-Reformation is back to Rome. When you come together in unity by democratic method, how do you vote? How do you decide who's the chief? Answer is by numbers. Very simple. When we have election, it goes by votes and numbers. When the Christian church comes together by numbers, the Roman church is we have lost count, maybe 1.2, 1.3 billion people. Now you say, we also got a voice. Yes, BP, you have a voice. How many are there in the world? Maybe 10,000. 1,000 is 0.1% of 1 million. And am I right? That's right. So by numbers, it's back to Rome. There is no way you can escape this. When the time comes, when the One World Church forms, you come together, you take orders from Rome. There is no way out, dear friends. This is why we are not using the other Bibles. This is why we stay on to one Bible, this Bible, because we are still of the Reformation. We are still of the true church that God gave during the Reformation back to the Bible. Only what is said in the Bible. And which Bible? This is so important because today we hold to one Bible, King James, but the other people, they have another Bible, other Bibles. How did this come about? The genius of the Counter-Reformation is we must stop this King James Bible from proliferating. So, how do you get hold of the King James Bible and do some damage to it? Remember, in that day, the whole country of England was united. So happy and so blessed that at last they have one Bible called the King James Bible. The King James Bible was a translation by 54 of the top scholars, 1604 to 1611. At that time, there was no liberalism, modernism, Darwinism, materialism, and all the other falseism, higher criticism, all those things were unknown. All the 54 scholars were godly men. They only knew one word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God, and they translate it accordingly. But Counter-Reformation says we must hit at the heart of the Reformation in England. That is, we must get rid of the King James Bible. If you are ever going to win the battle, the King James Bible must be dethroned. Here it is. How do you dethrone? It is a national treasure. The whole of England was only King James Bible. Everybody has King James Bible. And you try and dislodge the King James Bible. How can they do it? By stealth, by cunning, by plotting, by scheming, by trickery. Revise. We're not going to do anything bad. We're just going to modernize the language and improve the presentation. It took 200 years for the English Parliament to agree to the King James Bible to be revised. Two men, undercover agents, called Westcott and Hort, came onto the scene in this committee of revision. They took over. They were the brains. They directed the operation, and they prepared for 10 years. When this committee was formed and approved, they were in there. Agents. Do you understand what agents are? Undercover. Spies. They were there, agents of Rome. In 11 years, a new Bible came out called Revised Version. Now here, let me tell you a little secret. When I was young and before I was educated, in the truth of the King James Bible, I got tired of the King James Bible. And some friends had Revised Version, and I thought, that fellow is very progressive. I wish I could have a Revised Version also. Until I found out what the Revised Version was all about. The Revised Version is still available, although it is not popular. The Revised Version says, there are full of mistakes in the King James, therefore we must get a better version. Out comes the revision. That is a Revised Version. Of course, God delivered me from going on to the Revised Version. Today, because one version has succeeded, it is what we call the dike of defense. You know what is a dike? In the Low Countries of Netherlands, they have seawalls that keep out the seawater from the land. And if you let one part of that wall collapse, the whole wall will soon be demolished, and seawater will flood the whole country. That's why they call them Netherlands. The revision of the Bible in the Revised Version was the breakdown of the dike of defense. Once you break one hole, the floodwaters of the ecumenical movement pour in. And what poured in? The result is modern English Bibles. How many are there? Any number. Complete and incomplete versions in the last century, 100. Now, what is the wisdom of this? Do you know why 100? Answer, to breed confusion. So that there are so many versions, you don't know which is which. So that disperses the people from the truth of the King James Bible. And all of them claim to be better, more accurate, more faithful, more readable. I tell you, this is Satan's smokescreen. You know what is a smokescreen? You're going to do something, but you put a smoke in front. People can't see. This is a smokescreen. Why these Bibles have all come in? so that people get confused. And then when the time comes to form a one world movement, another Bible out of the confusion will come up to replace King James Bible. All of these today that are in common use, all of them, I say without apology, and those pamphlets that are available to you will show you clearly, they are corrupted. Let me give you just an instance, very simple. To attack a Bible, attack the author. Who is the author of the Bible? God. Jesus Christ is the author. He is the author of the Bible. So attack him. Revised Version, RSV, New English Version, New English Bible, and Good News Bible. All right. You turn to, if you like to write down, I tell you, Isaiah 7:14. And King James says, I will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall give birth to a son. All right, that is what King James. I told you a moment ago, that is the Word of God, unpolluted. Now you turn to RSV, you turn to NEB, you turn to GNB, you say, not virgin, but you know what it says. Young woman, my dear friends, you understand English? Is a young woman equivalent to virgin? So in one little sentence, that Bible has corrupted the whole doctrine of the virgin birth. For if our Lord Jesus Christ is born of a young woman, any young woman, he is no longer God. His whole deity is finished. And that Bible succeeds in demolishing the deity of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That's why we say, you must not use those Bibles. And they would say, how about NIV? Now, NIV at Isaiah 7:14 says a virgin is all right, but they have got other ways by back doors, side doors they enter, they attack. You turn to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 33. King James says, and Joseph and his mother, NIV says, and his father and his mother. Now, is there a difference? Now you see it? Joseph is Joseph, not the father of Jesus. Joseph and Mary wondered what was happening. You see the difference? Translation, it must be true to the original, but here the translator of the NIV says, oh, let's change it. Not virgin, never mind. We change it to young woman. They have an agenda to demolish the doctrine of the virgin birth. So, all the modern English Bibles today that are in common use, NIV, RSV, TEV, GNB, NEB, all these, all of them are corrupted in one place or another. Most of them are corrupted in dozens of places. I give you only one. Right? So they are corrupted. They are counterfeit. I want to stress on this word, very important that you understand. What is counterfeit? When you get a $50 note, it's counterfeit. It looks exactly the same, except it hasn't got the waterline, that secret line. It hasn't got that. Just a little change. The counterfeit Bible is 99.9% the same as what your King James Bible says. But in the vital areas, there is doctoring. There is a change, subtle change, here and there. At the vital spots, a member comes to you and says, hey, why do you say NIV no good? I've been saved reading NIV. True? Answer is yes. You can be saved. You can be revived. You can be blessed. Yes, reading all the good parts, you are still reading God's Word. But we advise you not to have that NIV because there are so many other corrupt areas which go and undermine the deity and the work of Jesus Christ, His ascension, His resurrection, His return. All these are corrupted, but you don't know. You read almost the same, but not the same. Why? Counterfeit. I show you my $50, it says it's the same. I say it's not the same. There's something wrong there. So these versions are almost like it, but not it. Now I tell you something else that is common to those versions. All those versions which are approved by Rome are Rome compliant. You know what is compliant? Agreeable, pleasing to, submissive. They don't take issue with Roman doctrine or with Roman church. All these that I mentioned to you, RSV, NEB, GNB, TEV, NIV, are Rome compliant. In the day to come, it would be approved by the number one, Papa. You know what is Papa? Pope. All these are ecumenical. This is the reason why we do not use those other Bibles. Not because you cannot be saved, not because you don't read better, understand the English better. Supposing your child will come back from school. Papa, I finished PSLE. I'm going to secondary school, but I find the books too difficult, full of strange words. I want to change the book. He said, what's wrong with this child? This is the argument with people who say, your King James Bible full of archaic words, obsolete words. I say, your child goes to school, doesn't complain of difficult words. Why do you complain of difficult words? Why? Because somebody's put in your mind already, poisoned your mind to say, oh, my new version reads so well. Your old version, King James Bible, these and thous, don't understand what it was, these and thous. Do you really don't understand these and thous? And a few other words? The difficult words are just a few. And after all, if your child goes to secondary school, you don't mind him learning a few more difficult words? Why do you mind yourself learning a few more difficult words here? We are here to teach. We are here to learn. So, dear friends, we have covered more or less. Now, finally, I was so happy when I heard, there is a new King James Bible. Wonderful! I think that will be the solution to this Bible version, right? Answer is wrong. New King James, I have here, right up on the pulpit, a copy. Now, this is photocopied downstairs in the office at 10 a.m. this morning. This is exact photocopy. Do you see the sign, the logo? Do you understand that logo? I say, if you have a book, say the Bible, with a swastika, you know what is a swastika? That thing, funny thing. That funny sign, logo. Every logo or symbol has a meaning. Logos are not put there for nothing. Logos embody significant meaning in every logo. This logo, if you are smart enough, you see 666 in there. Except it's joined together, you can't see the 666. It is Satan's logo. It is used by the Zeppelin pop rock group, and satanic groups, they all use this logo. Of course, it's designed and hidden in a bigger design, but inside there is a 666. And I say, how can God's Word use this Satan's logo on God's book. Can you understand? I can't. But it tells me the printers or the publishers have got a hidden agenda. This Bible is being manipulated and being used by Satan. What Bible? New King James. They claim to be the fifth revision of the King James Bible. This claim is satanic because it is false. If it is a revision, you don't change 100,000 words in that book is changed. And the source of the New King James, they pretend, they tell lies. They say, we are using the same source text, Masoretic text for the Old Testament, majority text or Textus Receptus for the New Testament, the same as King James, yes, but quietly they add on the Westcott and Hort text also in there, plus the satanic logo. My hopes of using New King James finished. Does it matter? I tell you, dear friends, Old King James is still good. We continue, therefore. Second Peter, God's word, as we close. Chapter 2. Long before all these happenings, God foretold. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. What do? Born of a virgin, changed to be born of a young woman. This is denying the Lord that bought them. They want to destroy the deity of Jesus Christ. And this is the crux of the problem. Destroy the deity of Jesus Christ, his miraculous work, his miraculous life, his coming again as judge. All this will be wiped off by what? By these false modern English versions. Read on. Verse 3. Through covetousness, they with feigned words. Now let me read this for you very carefully and we'll conclude here. Through covetousness, with false words or lying words, they will make merchandise of you. All right. What do you understand by this? I found it very puzzling, but thank God I found the answer. Here it is. NIV. NIV was bought over by Rupert Murdoch. Do you know who is Rupert Murdoch? He is the owner, he is the global number one media mogul. He owns News Corp, Fox Television, plus many other media in America and worldwide, and he bought this, NIV. The moment the news spread that he had bought Zondervan with a 30-year copyright to NIV, the stocks jumped up 50 cents. Now read, verse 3. Through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. In this little booklet is recorded 100 million copies of NIV have been printed and sold. 100 million. If you make $1 per Bible, that's $100 million profit. Through covetousness, with feigned words. What are the feigned words? Inside the advertisement, they say, this is the most faithful, most accurate, most readable, most wonderful translation of the Bible Are these feigned words? These are the feigned words. What do you mean by feigned words? Deceptive, seductive, false, but very high power sales language. People buy it. 100 million copies is merchandise. Agree? 100 million copies, if you make $1, is $100 million into whose pocket? Rupert Murdoch. Who is Rupert Murdoch? He is a very high up in the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope himself has decorated him, rewarded him, highest honors. Why? Rupert Murdoch has come into the fold. He's a Roman Catholic, and he's helping us, and he's bought over NIV. From that day, they made 5 editions, different editions. Every edition will sell more millions of copies. One is called the Couples Edition, NIV, which tells couples, it need not be married, but it tells couples how to improve sex life inside there. Why? Because of merchandise. What? Who says so? Peter. That's why Jesus asked Peter 3 times, Peter, you love me, feed my sheep. Tell them what's going to happen. How do you feed them? Tell them, warn them that there's going to be trouble coming. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, he says, through covetousness. Do you know that there is no copyright on the King James Bible? Do you know that? All the other Bibles, the New English Bible, the NIV, the RSV, all of them are copyright. You cannot use them without paying copyright. Merchandise. Who said so? Peter. Who told Peter? Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit know? Our God knows. Amazing. That is why we keep on buying. The only Bible that we can hold up and confidently say, this is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God that we all understand. Keep on using, because herein is safety, herein is blessing. God, help us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all glory and praise to thy holy name for raising up William Tyndale, John Wycliffe, and the 54 translators of the King James Bible, and to give us this King James Bible, which is 80% Tyndale. Lord, we thank thee for that man who paid his lifeblood to give us this Bible. O Lord, may we continue steadfast and spread the good news that this is the unadulterated, authentic, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Bless your people that we may continue steadfast in the faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.